Please open your Bible to 2 Chronicles chapter 29, where we're going to start at verse 3 in just a moment. This is very important information. It's a watershed event in the history of southern Judah. You remember that northern Israel and Syria had planned to attack southern Judah shortly after Ahaz usurped his father Jotham and took over. And God had reached out through the prophet Isaiah to Ahaz and said, you can ask God for any sign or wonder so that he can prove to you that he can be trusted, and he will get you out of this threat that's coming from the north. And Ahaz, being the wicked man that he was, refused God's offer, slapped God's hand away, and proceeded to take things out of the temple and out of the palace and send it off to Tiglath-Pileser III to save him. And that was just the beginning of Ahaz's horrendous reign. He makes other gods and goddesses. He makes idols. He brings a pagan altar into the temple complex and begins dismantling some of the elements of worship that had been placed there by King Solomon at the direction of King David, who was led by the Holy Spirit. And so Ahaz has really brought Judah down, spiritually especially. And then he dies. He dies in the year 727 BC, probably in the fall, maybe into the winter of that particular year. And King Hezekiah comes to the throne. And he is nothing like his dad. He is a good and godly man. And so in his first year, as the springtime rolls around, he looks at the mess that his father had made of the Temple Mount and decides, I can't let that stand. Now, remember that the Jewish religious year starts in the first month that is marked by the spring. And the important festival of that first month is Passover and unleavened bread. Passover happens on the 14th, unleavened bread starts on the 15th. Well, the temple is not properly cleansed for these things to happen in this year because Ahaz had desecrated it. And so Hezekiah has to fix it all. And this is his story. 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 3. In the first year of his reign, in the first month, so we're talking about 726 now, the first month starts in April, the beginning of April in this particular year. In the first month, he opened the doors of the house of He Who Is and repaired them. So you get the understanding and the impression here that Ahaz had basically shut down the proper worship rituals in the temple. And so Hezekiah reopens them. But everything is messed up. Everything is in bad repair. Verse 4, so he brought in the priests and the Levites, and he assembled them in the square on the east. That would be the worship courtyard, east of the temple worship courtyard, the upper worship courtyard where the priests did their work. And so he's got this public assembly, and he said to them, hear me, Levites. Now consecrate yourselves. Consecrate the house of he who is, the God of your fathers. Carry out the filth, the impurity, the unclean garbage from the holy place. Things that his father, Ahaz, had put in place. For our fathers, he uses the plural, his dad has been a primary culprit in this faithlessness, but his father didn't do it alone. He had advisors, he had helpers. For our fathers have been unfaithful and have done what is evil in the sight of he who is our God. They have forsaken him. They have turned away their faces from the habitation of he who is, and they've turned their backs. So they've abandoned God's temple. They also shut the doors of the vestibule. The vestibule is pretty much always a reference to that tower that's on the front of the temple of God. And then that tower, vestibule, is also the entry point into the holy place, the place of worship. And so they shut those doors, and they put out the lamps. Remember, there were 10 menorahs that were inside the holy place that were supposed to be kept burning 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So they shut off the lights and they closed the doors. They've not burned incense or offered burnt offerings in the holy place to the God of Israel. So they shut down all the proper daily sacrifice system. Ahaz did that with the compliance of many of the leaders in Israel. And therefore the wrath of he who is came on Judah and Jerusalem, and he's made them an object of horror, of astonishment, of hissing, as you see with your own eyes. So we are an embarrassment, and we are also a shocking representation of failure. The world looks at us as a fallen country. For behold, our fathers have fallen by the sword. They have. They've suffered some defeats, death and destruction. Our sons and our daughters and our wives are in captivity for this, and that is also true. Some POWs have been taken and turned into slaves and sold elsewhere. Now it is in my heart to make a covenant with he who is the God of Israel in order that his fierce anger may turn away from us. So he confesses to them. Remember, he's in his mid-20s. He says, as the new king of southern Judah, it's in my heart that we have a recommitment to God, so that we can come out from under judgment and come back into the blessing. My sons, do not now be negligent, for he who is has chosen you to stand in his presence, to minister to him, to be his ministers, and to make offerings to him. So he appeals to this new crop of priests and Levites, who are probably his age and maybe a little bit younger. He says, you guys need to join me in recommitting our nation back to God. And then the Levites arose, Mahath, the son of Amasai, Joel, the son of Azariah, of the sons of the Kohathites. Remember, there's three different divisions of the Levitical tribe. Of the sons of Merari, Kish, the son of Abdi, and Azariah, the son of Jalaleel. And of the Gershonites, Joah of the son of Zimmah, and Eden, the son of Joah. And of the sons of Elzaphan, Shimri and Ya'ul. Of the sons of Asaph, which the Asaphites were tied into the music ceremonies. They were the musicians, the singers, the prophet singers. So of the sons of Elzaphan, Shimri, and Ya'ul, of the sons of Asaph, Zechariah and Mataniah, and of the sons of Heman, Yahuel, and Shimei, and of the sons of Joduthan, Shimei, and Uziel. So you got this list of the key leaders that are going to join forces with this new king in rededicating southern Judah back to God. And that starts with cleaning the Temple Mount up. So they gathered their brothers and they consecrated themselves first. They went through purification ceremonies. And they went in as the king had commanded by the words of He Who Is. Now, that's an important line. Isaiah the prophet is probably giving information to Hezekiah as to how to do this stuff. So they went in by the words of He Who Is to cleanse the house of He Who Is. The priests went into the inner part of the house of He Who Is to cleanse it. Now, more than likely, they had to go not just simply into the holy place, but into the Holy of Holies, the place where the Ark of the Covenant is located, because Ahaz didn't have respect for this worship site. And so there are probably idols in the actual shrine building. And so these priests are going in there with the dispensation of God to clean that junk out. So they went into the inner part of the house of He Who Is to cleanse it. They brought out all the uncleanness that they found in the temple of He Who Is into the court of the house of He Who Is. So they bring it out of the shrine building into the worship court where the altar is and the water tank that's now on stones instead of on the backs of the bronze bulls, because those were removed by Ahaz. So they bring all that junk and they dump it first at this place at the upper worship court. And then the Levites took that. So the priests were the ones that took it out of the temple, because they're the only ones that are allowed to go into the shrine building. And then the priests pick all that junk up, and they carried it out to the brook Kidron. Now, the Kidron Valley is a wadi system, a drainage system, that runs on the east side of the Temple Mount. And so they're going to take it through the east gate of the temple down into the Kidron Valley, and my guess is that they're probably going to cart it southward along the Kidron Valley to a dump site, an unclean place, to get rid of it. And so they began to consecrate on the first day of the first month. Now, I already told you that that fell on the beginning of April in the year 726. So they start on the first day of the first month, and then on the eighth day of the month, they came to the vestibule of He Who Is. So they're cleaning things out, and it takes them the first 8 days to clean out everything up to the tower. And then for 8 days, they consecrated the house of He Who Is. So it takes them 8 days to get the junk out. And then according to the Mosaic law of dedicating the tabernacle, which was the representation of the temple. And then, of course, it happened when the temple was dedicated by King Solomon. It takes 8 days of ceremony to get that done. That's why when Judas Maccabee was rededicating the temple, he took 8 days. There's nothing in the history of the time period that there was only 1 day's amount of oil for the lamp, and God provided 8 special days worth of oil. That comes much later in the Jewish traditions. The reason Judas Maccabee took 8 days is because it always takes 8 days to rededicate the temple. And so that's what these guys do. 8 days to clean the junk out, and then 8 days to rededicate it. And so on the 16th day of the first month, they finished with the rededication ceremony. Now, that means they ran into a problem. They didn't have the temple ready to be used for the Feast of Passover and for the Feast of Unleavened Bread to begin, because the Feast of Unleavened Bread should have started on the 15th, but the temple wasn't ready yet. Verse 18, then they went in to Hezekiah the king, and they said, we have cleansed all the house of He Who Is, and the altar burnt offering, and all its utensils, and the table for the showbread, and all its utensils, and all the utensils the king Ahaz discarded in his reign when he was faithless, we have made ready and consecrated. Behold, they are before the altar of He Who Is. So, sir, we've done what you told us to do. We got the junk out, and we've done the 8 days of ceremony. The temple is now back up to its holy status, ready to be used. Verse 20, then Hezekiah the king rose early. He gathered the officials of the city, and he went up to the house of He Who Is. They brought 7 bulls, 7 rams, 7 lambs, 7 male goats for a sin offering for the kingdom and for the sanctuary and for Judah. So now they're going to have a big special public opening ceremony for the sacrificial system to start back up again. He, meaning King Hezekiah, commanded the priests, the sons of Aaron, to offer them on the altar of He Who Is. So they slaughtered the bulls, and the priest received the blood and threw it against the altar. That's proper procedure. They're taking the blood that they catch when they cut the throat of the animal in bowls. They take it to the sacrificial altar, and they dump it against the side of the altar as part of the sacrifice ceremony. And then they repeated it with the rams. They slaughtered the rams. Their blood was thrown against the altar. Then they slaughtered the lambs, and their blood was thrown against the altar. Then the goats for the sin offering were brought to the king and the assembly, and they laid their hands on them. Now, this is part of the ceremony of confession of sins. So, King Hezekiah, representing his people, stands in front of all the people with his hands on the top of the goats of the sin offering, and he goes through a laundry list, no doubt, of all the sins of his father and of his father's associates, and how this sin brought shame and reproach upon the nation of Israel. And then the priest slaughtered them, cut the throat as Hezekiah's hand was on the top of the animals. And then they made a sin offering with their blood on the altar. They made atonement for all Israel. For the king commanded that the burnt offering and the sin offering should be made for all Israel. So not only did they rededicate the temple, King Hezekiah says, we've got to rededicate ourselves. We have to confess the sins of our people and make promises to do the right thing. And then and only then can we get started fresh. And so after all of that ceremony was done, verse 25, he stationed the Levites in the house of he who is with cymbals. Don't think about, you know, the hi-hat cymbals of a drum kit or the cymbals in a parade where they clank, clank, clank the big old things against each other. Think of little cymbals that go on your fingers, like castanets. That's the type of cymbals that are described here. So those types of cymbals and harps and lyres, according to the commandment of David and of Gad, the king seer, and of Nathan, the prophet, that's all going back to the time of David. David designed the original temple, which is now being rededicated. He also designed the worship service. He also designed many of the instruments. He also wrote a lot of the psalms for worship. And so what we're being told here is that King Hezekiah, along with his priests and Levites, are restarting the Davidic worship ceremonies. And that includes the musical worship, because musical worship is a very important part of the temple ceremonies. And I'm going to tell you what I always tell you when we come to this type of thing. Musical worship is an important part of our own Christian worship. We need to sing songs of the Lord in praise to Him and encouragement to one another. And so we need the musical worship in our churches. Verse number 26. So the Levites stood with the instruments of David, the priests with the trumpets, and then King Hezekiah commanded that the burnt offering be offered on the altar. Remember the one that he'd laid his hands on. So they confessed all the sins. It was killed. It was sacrificed. And now its body, properly prepared according to the laws of the Levites, is laid out on this altar. And when the burnt offering began, the song to He Who Is began also, and the trumpets accompanied by the instruments of David, king of Israel. So it's coming to a climax now of the our sins are being burned up, our sins are being gotten rid of, and we're praising God for that with our music, with our songs. The whole assembly worshiped. The singers sang, the trumpeters sounded. All this continued until the burnt offering was finished. So this ceremony is orchestrated. It is choreographed for the song to go on the entire time this sacrifice is taking to burn up. And then when the offering was finished, the king and all who were present with him bowed themselves and worshiped. So they get down on their faces. They get down on their stomachs, their chests, their hands, their knees. They get down in front of everyone. It doesn't matter that they're king, that he's a king, and that the peoples with him are high officials in the kingdom. These guys understand our nation has sinned, and we can't be right with God unless we acknowledge the sins of the past. And folks, this is an important lesson we need to understand. I get very frustrated when I hear people to say, well, we just got to forget about the past. We got to quit talking about the mistakes of the past. We got to move forward. Folks, we can't move forward until we clearly acknowledge the sins of our nation clearly being repented of. Repentance is a public acknowledgement. Confession is a public acknowledgement. It was wrong. It should never have happened. We're sorry that it did. We will make reparations for what was done. And from here on out, we will do the right thing. That's what Hezekiah is doing here. A public acknowledgement. We will move forward and never again be involved in this sort of stuff. And so Hezekiah the king and the officials commanded the Levites to sing praises to He Who Is with the words of David and of Asaph the seer. And they sang praises with gladness, and they bowed down and they worshiped. And so this is how the public worship in the temple began again, afresh, under King Hezekiah, the greatest king of southern Judah. And it all started in the spring of 726 BC. Verse 31. Then Hezekiah said, "You have now consecrated yourselves to He Who Is. Come near. Bring the sacrifices and the thank offerings to the house of He Who Is." And so the assembly brought sacrifices and thank offerings, and all who were of a willing heart brought burnt offerings. So now the temple is reopened to public worship. Individual Israelis, southern Judeans, are allowed now to get back into the habit, the ritual, the worship custom of bringing sacrifices, both sacrifices for when they sin and they're sorry over it, but also sacrifices just because they're happy to be part of God's covenant. And so now that the temple is open to this, this is what happens. Verse 32, the number of burnt offerings that the assembly brought was 70 bulls, 100 rams, 200 lambs. All these were for burnt offering to He Who Is. And they consecrated offerings, the consecrated offerings were 600 bulls, 3,000 sheep. Think about this. All of these animals being brought by people, people are lining up to bring these things to the brand new temple worship service. And there's just not enough priests to get this job done. Mark your place. We'll get back here next time we're into the Word.